Imagine for a second that you are a highly paid, highly skilled systems architect.
Right.
You've spent like years learning how to design these magnificent, infinitely scalable cloud environments.
The dream job, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But now that you actually have the job, you spend the 30-40% of your work week just, well, restarting Crash Container.
Oh, yeah, the reality check.
Or manually updating configuration files because a deployment drifted. You know, you are not actually building the future.
No, not at all.
You are essentially a highly compensated janitor for digital infrastructure,
Yeah.
just constantly putting out fires just to maintain the status quo.
And I mean, that is the fastest route to severe professional burnout.
Oh, absolutely.
You become trapped in this relentless cycle of reactive maintenance, and the psychological toll of never actually shipping new value, you know, it's
That
immense.
really is. Well, welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we are looking at a really comprehensive breakdown from Avahi.
Yeah, it's a great read.
It's titled How Agentic AI Reduces Operational Costs Across Engineering and Ops. And the mission of this deep dive is to basically shortcut your way to understanding this massive fundamental shift happening in tech right now.
A very necessary shift.
Right. We are talking about how engineering teams are aggressively moving away from that exhausting firefighting and shifting toward deploying autonomous self-healing systems.
Yeah, and to set the tone here, the goal today isn't just to talk about, you know, yet another incremental automation tool.
No, definitely not.
We are really exploring a complete rethinking of how complex digital infrastructure is managed when human limits are reached, because human cognitive limits have officially been breached.
They really have.
The sheer scale, the microservice dependencies, the velocity of deployments that modern software engineers are expected to monitor. I mean, it has wildly outpaced the human brain's ability to keep track of all the moving parts.
Which brings us right to the core thesis of our source material. Modern engineering teams aren't failing because they lack tools, right?
No, not at all.
They are drowning in complexity. The statistics in this report are just incredibly stark. Like, engineers spend up to 40% of their time on what the industry calls operational toil.
Right, the toil.
Debugging, staring at monitoring dashboards, sifting through logs, and just responding to endless noisy incident alerts.
And as companies transition to massively distributed cloud architectures, that operational workload, it increases exponentially, not linearly.
Yeah, it compounds.
Exactly. Every time you split a monolith into microservices, you introduce a new network boundary, a new potential point of failure,
Right.
and like a new layer of telemetry that someone has to manually monitor.
Okay, let's unpack this.
Yeah.
Because you might be thinking, well, don't we already have automation for this?
Yeah, the old I wrote a bash script for that 5 years ago argument.
Exactly. But traditional automation is it's like a high-speed train on a set of tracks. It's incredibly fast, but can only go exactly where you lay the tracks.
That's a great way to put it.
Right. And if there's an unexpected fallen tree, say, like a memory leak caused by some third-party API update that you never anticipated, the train just stops.
Crashes.
It throws a fatal error and pages an engineer at 3:11 a.m.
The worst time.
Always.
Yeah.
But agentic AI, on the other hand, is like a highly advanced self-driving car. It has a destination, a goal, but it can independently reason, plan, and navigate around unexpected obstacles to get there. And it does it without waking you up.
What's fascinating here is that specific shift from predefined rigid rule sets to goal-oriented
Yeah,
execution.
the goal-oriented part is key.
If we look at the underlying mechanics, legacy automation relies entirely on if this then that logic, state machines.
Right.
But distributed systems are inherently chaotic. They are non-deterministic. A single user transaction might touch 50 different microservices asynchronously.
The web.
Exactly. So relying on human-authored rules for every possible edge case in that web of services, it's basically a mathematical impossibility.
You just can't write enough scripts.
You can't. It becomes a massive bottleneck that chokes product velocity because your senior developers are stuck writing maintenance scripts instead of actual feature code.
And if that much engineering time is being consumed by toil, I mean, the financial bleed must be staggering.
Oh, it's massive.
The Avahi source outlines several hidden cost drivers here. And the most obvious one is incident response. Specifically, the sheer length of the mean time to resolution, or MTTR, when a critical system degrades.
Yeah, incident response is just a brutal drain on operating margins because when production degrades, engineers drop feature work entirely.
Everything stops.
Everything. But the real cost isn't even just the downtime, it's the cognitive overload. They have to sift through gigabytes of distributed logs, trace requests across network boundaries.
Try to coordinate a response in a frantic Slack channel.
Exactly, and manually test hypotheses to restore stability. It's exhausting.
And the report highlights how this creates chronic alert fatigue. Teams set up alerts for, like, every minor CPU spike or memory threshold.
Right, just in case.
Yeah, so your phone buzzes 100 times a week with warnings that just resolve themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, you subconsciously start ignoring the pager.
The boy who cried wolf.
Exactly. Right. Then, when the catastrophic database deadlock actually happens, it just gets lost in the noise of 1,000 meaningless warnings.
The telemetry literally becomes white noise. But the financial bleed, it goes well beyond just incident response. The source points out a crazy metric regarding infrastructure inefficiency. Nearly 30% of cloud infrastructure spending is pure waste.
Wait, 30%?
30%. Companies are bleeding capital on idle or vastly over-provisioned compute resources that they're holding just in case.
Okay, let's elevate that, because anyone who has managed AWS or Azure knows all about auto-scaling groups.
Right.
So why is there still 30% waste if we have auto-scaling?
Because it's reactive.
The issue the source points out is that traditional auto-scaling waits for the CPU to hit, say, 80%, and then it takes 5 minutes to spin up a new container.
And 5 minutes in cloud time is an eternity.
It really is.
Yeah.
Engineers know that 5 minute delay might cause dropped requests during a sudden traffic spike. So they artificially inflate the baseline.
Yep.
They've run 20 containers when they only need 5, just to absorb the shock before the reactive scaling even kicks in.
That is the exact friction point right there. They are paying a massive premium for a buffer against latency.
Wow.
And beyond compute waste, the source dives into the friction within manual DevOps workflows. Consider the pipeline that takes code from a developer's laptop to the production server.
Okay.
We are talking about configuration drift across staging and production environments and just the constant manual troubleshooting of CI/CD pipelines.
I mean, that sounds like minor housekeeping, yeah. But I've actually seen deployment pipelines that require a dedicated team of release engineers just to babysit the builds.
Oh, it's incredibly common.
A developer merges a perfectly good feature branch, but then spends the next 2 days trying to figure out why the integration test failed in staging, but passed locally on their machine.
It works on my machine, right? It's this persistent, invisible friction. The environment variables don't match, or maybe a legacy dependency wasn't updated in the container registry.
Right.
The human developer has to stop building, put on a detective hat, and manually trace the pipeline failure.
Actually, I want to push back on the next cost driver the source mentions. It brings up operational fragmentation.
Oh, okay.
The report talks about disconnected dashboards and data silos. But hold on, didn't we just spend the last decade buying enterprise observability platforms specifically to fix this exact problem?
You would think so, yes.
Right, like we spent millions on Datadog, Splunk, and New Relic to get that holy grail, that single pane of glass. So why is the data still fragmented?
Because, ironically, the single pane of glass turned out to be a total myth in hyperscaled environments.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the irony of modern observability is that the sheer volume of specialized tools is what created the fragmentation.
Oh, I see.
You have one platform analyzing network packets, another one indexing application logs, a third tracking Kubernetes pod health.
And probably a fourth managing the incident tickets in Jira.
Exactly. So when a complex failure occurs, the data is technically all there, but it is entirely decoupled.
So the engineer is still the one manually correlating a latency spike on dashboard A with some obscure error code on dashboard B while updating the ticket on screen C.
Right. The human operator has inadvertently become the integration layer.
Wow, that's a terrible integration layer.
It really is. You're relying on a tired engineer's wetware to find a pattern across disparate data streams in real time. It is a terrible use of human intelligence,
yeah.
Which leads directly to the ultimate cost driver, productivity loss. These are highly compensated software engineers acting as manual data routers instead of actually architecting competitive advantages.
Okay, let's pivot to the solution, because the source introduces this framework called the Agentic Efficiency Model.
Yes.
This is where we move from identifying the bleeding to actually applying the tourniquet.
Yes.
It's presented as this progressive layering of AI capabilities, and it starts with proactive monitoring.
Right, because legacy monitoring is entirely threshold-based. It triggers when a metric crosses a static line.
Right, like 80% CPU.
Exactly. Agentic AI completely discards that paradigm. Instead of waiting for a threshold, it continuously ingests and analyzes high-dimensional telemetry data across your entire stack.
So it's looking at everything all the time.
It correlates subtle signals to identify anomalies long before any actual user experiences a problem.
I love how they describe this in the text. It isn't just looking for smoke to predict a fire. Think of it more like a massive network of seismic sensors.
Okay, yeah.
Legacy monitoring waits for the ground to literally crack open and then sends an alert that you have an earthquake.
A bit late for that.
Exactly. Agentic proactive monitoring is detecting microfractures deep underground, cross-referencing them with historical tectonic pressure data, and warning you that a fault line is going to slip in exactly 20 minutes.
That's a powerful analogy.
It notices that a slight increase in, say, garbage collection time in one microservice is historically correlated with a catastrophic memory leak 3 hours later.
And that predictive capability changes the entire operational posture of the team. But, you know, when an anomaly does breach into a full incident, the model moves to the second layer. Automated diagnosis.
Okay, how does that work?
The AI agent doesn't just page you. It instantly queries the application logs, traces the microservice dependency graph, and analyzes the last 72 hours of code commits.
All at once.
Instantly. It evaluates millions of data points simultaneously to isolate the actual root cause.
Wait, how does the AI know it's not chasing a false positive?
Yeah.
Because hallucinations in LLMs are a very real problem.
Yes, they are.
If it aggressively correlates the wrong logs, couldn't it misdiagnose the issue and send the engineering team on this massive wild goose chase?
That is where the architecture of these specific agentic models is critical. They are not just generic chatbots guessing at text.
Right.
They utilize retrieval augmented generation, or ARAG, which is deeply integrated with vector databases that store your specific architectural topology.
So it knows your actual system.
Precisely. When the agent diagnoses a problem, it grounds its reasoning in your actual current system state. It traces the exact execution path of a failed request, maps it to a specific container restart, and provides the probabilistic reasoning for its diagnosis. It literally shows its work.
Okay, that level of deterministic tracing leads us to the third layer, self-healing.
The big one.
This is the leap from an ultra-smart diagnostic assistant to an active participant. The AI agent doesn't just drop a root cause analysis in your lap. It actually executes the remediation.
Yes.
It restarts the deadlock service. It dynamically rolls back the corrupted deployment to the last known good state. It repairs the configuration drift entirely autonomously.
And by executing those standard operating procedures at machine speed, it collapses the mean time to resolution from hours down to literal seconds.
That's incredible.
It effectively eliminates the downtime costs associated with manual triage.
And then it tackles that 30% cloud waste we talked about with the fourth layer, cloud optimization.
Right.
Because the AI is predicting load rather than just reacting to it, it dynamically scales compute clusters and aggressively terminates idle workloads in real time. It completely destroys the need for that bloated just-in-case buffer.
It is continuous algorithmic optimization based on real-time traffic patterns rather than static manual provisioning.
Here's where it gets really interesting. The source details how these agents integrate directly into your CI/CD pipelines.
Yes, the pipeline integration.
The AI acts as an autonomous release engineer.
Yeah.
If a complex software build fails, the agentic AI analyzes the failure output, identifies the specific integration test that broke, applies a patch to the test environment configuration, reruns that specific test.
Wow.
And if it passes, it automatically unblocks the deployment pipeline.
You fundamentally alter the physics of software delivery at that point. The engineering team is no longer babysitting the delivery mechanism.
Right.
They are simply pushing code, and the agentic system ensures the frictionless flow of that code straight into production.
But let's ground this in reality for a second.
Sure.
Giving an autonomous large language model write access to a live production environment, letting it roll back deployments and delete cloud infrastructure. That sounds like a massive security and operational risk.
It sounds terrifying.
Right. One hallucinated command could theoretically take down a primary database. How does a massive enterprise actually implement this without introducing catastrophic chaos?
Well, you absolutely do not hand over the root credentials on day one.
I would hope not.
The Avahir report provides a highly structured 5-step roadmap for implementation precisely to mitigate that exact risk. You have to build trust incrementally.
Okay, so step one is identifying high-toil, low-risk workflows. You don't unleash the agent on your core transaction ledger.
No, definitely not.
You point it at incident triage in a staging environment, or have it handle routine, low-priority internal alerts that the engineers just hate dealing with anyway.
Exactly. And then step two is deep integration with your existing observability stack. The agent is totally blind without high-fidelity data.
Right.
It needs read-only access to your logs, metrics, and traces to begin building a baseline understanding of what normal actually looks like for your specific architecture.
And step three is the crucial one for that trust deficit we talked about, the human-in-the-loop phase.
Very important.
The AI agent is strictly forbidden from executing state changes. It investigates an incident and generates a remediation plan, but it only recommends the action.
Right.
A senior engineer reviews the bash script or the API call the AI wants to make, verifies the logic, and manually clicks approve.
You are basically treating the AI exactly like a newly hired junior engineer. You review their pull requests and you validate their assumptions.
That makes a lot of sense.
And over time, as the AI consistently proposes the correct remediation for specific, well-understood failure modes, you graduate to step four.
Autonomous remediation.
Yes. You remove the manual approval gate, but only for highly specific bounded scenarios, like, say, clearing a cache when a specific queue backs up.
And then step five locks it all down, establishing strict governance. You implement policy as code guardrails. The AI might be autonomous, but it operates inside a very hard-coded sandbox.
Exactly.
It cannot touch IAM permissions, it cannot drop databases, and every single action it takes is logged in an immutable audit trail, so you always know exactly why a decision was made.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, that complex governance and phased rollout is exactly why enterprises are not trying to build these agentic platforms from scratch.
Just too risky.
The risk of misconfiguring an autonomous system is just way too high. They are partnering with specialized cloud integrators who actually have the battle scars from doing this at scale.
Which brings the focus right back to Avahi itself. I mean, they authored this report, but they are an AWS premier tier services partner actually executing these migrations.
Right.
They're the ones taking legacy manual operations and wiring them into advanced models like Amazon Bedrock and AWS Nova.
They provide the architectural blueprint. Utilizing fully managed foundational models through AWS ensures that the data privacy, the compliance, and the security guardrails are all baked into the infrastructure layer.
Rather than bolted on at the end.
Exactly, rather than as an afterthought.
And the case studies in the report prove that this isn't limited to just keeping servers online. Once you have an agentic architecture, it accelerates the core business.
Oh, totally.
They outline how they use these models for automated lead capture, instantly extracting structured data from chaotic documents,
yeah,
and even real-time global translation.
Let's look closely at the group view case study they included. They leveraged AWS Nova to accelerate real-time social insights.
Okay.
And this isn't just your basic sentiment analysis. An agentic system can ingest massive streams of unstructured social media data, dynamically understand the shifting context of user conversations, and continuously update a structured analytics dashboard. And it does all that without a human data engineer having to constantly rewrite the ETL pipelines.
That's amazing. The North Bay telehealth solution is another perfect example of eliminating toil, but in a totally different industry.
Yeah, healthcare.
Healthcare professionals are just drowning in administrative data entry. Avahi applied agentic AI to medical scribing. The system listens to the unstructured audio of a patient consult, understands the medical context, maps the conversation to specific billing codes, and automatically populates the electronic health record.
The underlying mechanics there are identical to the engineering use case. Uh-huh. You're taking a highly trained professional, whether it's a doctor or a software architect, and you're removing the manual data routing from their workflow.
Right.
The AI handles the structured categorization, allowing the human to focus entirely on the complex diagnosis or the system design. And because it's built on AWS, it natively handles the brutal hyper-compliance requirements.
They also highlight a project with Extract, launching an AI-driven chatbot. But again, this isn't some 2018-era decision tree bot. An agentic chatbot actively queries back-end databases, validates user entitlements, and executes API calls to resolve a customer's issue completely autonomously.
Yeah, rather than just handing them a link to a FAQ page.
Exactly. It just fixes the problem.
It really demonstrates the versatility of the agentic framework, whether it is remediating a Kubernetes cluster, structuring a medical chart, or resolving a customer service ticket. The core principle remains the same.
Which is?
Autonomous execution of complex, multi-step goals, all bounded by strict security policies.
So what does this all mean? If we synthesize everything from the Avahi deep dive, the ultimate takeaway is not the dystopian fear that AI is coming to replace software engineers.
No, it's really not.
The reality is that agentic AI is an extraction mechanism for toil. It is forcing a massive cultural shift inside engineering organizations.
Mm-hmm.
We're moving from a culture of reactive, exhausting maintenance to a culture of proactive innovation.
Exactly.
It is quite literally giving builders their time and their cognitive bandwidth back.
This raises an important question for anyone responsible for digital infrastructure today. As your systems continue to hyperscale, relying on manual human intervention is no longer just a margin killer.
Right.
It is becoming physically impossible. The speed and complexity of distributed cloud environments have permanently exceeded human bandwidth.
Yeah, we just can't keep up.
We can't. Embracing agentic models is not just a neat optimization strategy, it is the mandatory evolution of operations. If you attempt to scale a modern architecture with legacy manual workflows, the sheer complexity will eventually just collapse the system.
It is a harsh reality. Adapt to autonomy or be buried by your own system's complexity. And that leads me to a final thought for you to take away from this deep dive.
Okay.
We've explored how these digital agents will increasingly take over the diagnosis, the healing, and the scaling of our environments.
Mm-hmm.
But project that in 5 or 10 years.
Things will look very different.
If agentic AI reaches a state where it autonomously manages all infrastructure flawlessly, how will the very definition of a software engineer change? Will the future of engineering look less like writing lines of code and bash scripts and more like managing, guiding, and negotiating with a complex ecosystem of highly capable digital agents?
You basically transition from being a mechanic who turns the wrenches to the architect who dictates the outcomes.
Right.
The skill set shifts from syntax memorization to profound system-level thinking and strategic oversight.
No more running around the skyscraper replacing light bulbs. Just pure design and building. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning, keep exploring, and we'll catch you next time.